of Alex. Alex has passed on and then been given the option to live out, or rather rejoin, the land of the living, only in another realm, not his own world. In exchange, he has to make deals with other people who will benefit himself, or that will benefit himself, and they have to swear these oaths on the name of a god, or rather a demon. So, well, as long as he keeps a really special crystal full for the month, and but not, then he's okay. If he fails to meet his quota in a month, uh-oh, might be begging for a favor at that point, or starting over again somewhere else. So, we are on chapter 19. In this world, his name is Count Alex Britt. He has been summoned to war by his liege. I believe his name is Duke Tanulf. Chapter 19. Alex had barely gotten 10 steps beyond the pavilion before his people fell in around him. Carla on his right, Max on his left, David 1 step beyond that. "We're told to hold the left flank," Alex said immediately. Everyone around him seemed to take that without a concern. Internally, Alex imagined they were annoyed and worried, though. They'd undoubtedly be going up against the best the enemy had. "Max, David, spread some money around and see if we can't dig up where the Duke wants to hold this battle," Alex said once they were out of earshot of anyone else. "Two, if you catch someone sneaking around my tent, bash their head in first and ask questions after. David, Max, it's up to you to let your people know not to come around in a sneaky way. They need to be obvious and direct if they don't want their skulls smashed in. I'm going to tell your partner the same thing," Alex said, deliberately, not naming three. "In fact, triple the guard on our supplies. Give the men an extra ration of ale later on to keep them happy." "You suspect trouble?" Max asked. "Not really, but I wouldn't discount it. I'd rather pay the men extra beer than lament my losses," Alex said with a shrug. "Once we figure out where the battle will start, I want to know the entire layout of the battlefield, terrain, elevation, every detail, and anything that stands out. I'm sure Duke Galus is well aware of the fact that we're here, and probably even knows where we'll fight. So whoever you send, be sure they're on guard." "Elevation?" Max asked dubiously. "Yeah, elevation. Hills, depressions, sunken roads, anything that would change the height of the battlefield," Alex said. Memories of long-forgotten games flitted through his mind. "My dad always beat me so bad," Alex thought. "Let's hope I remember enough to not make a complete ass out of myself. I wish I'd paid more attention to those war documentaries he watched, too." "Gonna reward me if I kill one?" Carla asked. "Definitely. You brain one and I'll pay you a week's salary as a bonus. Catch one alive and I'll give you a month's." Carla grunted at that, her bloodlust palpable. "Leave it to the bandit to get worked up about killing someone for pay." "Anything else you all need?" Alex asked. No, sire. No, sir. No, master. Great. I'm going to turn in for the night. You all get to your jobs and be ready to roll out as soon as we get an idea of where this battle is taking place. I have a plan. Max and David fell away from him as soon as they made it into their camp. Carla stayed at his side. Smiling to himself, he remembered what he was in for tonight. Welcome, fantasy darling. Stop smirking, Carla grumbled. I can't help it. Tonight's just got so much better. Fucking bitch isn't even here yet, and I'm taking on for her. Taking one for her, rather. In the month, no less. Alex added helpfully, You really are too much of a smart-ass, master. Don't forget, you said you'd swallow. I haven't forgotten. I'll also try not to forget to be careful with my teeth, master. Just to give you guys a little bit of a backstory, Carla's his bodyguard. She's asked to hire an extra bodyguard. In return, as his subservient and oathed servant, she gives him a blowjob every Monday night. Yep. Dig in. Move those rocks if you can to provide a wall, or put them lower on the hill as a way to break up their formations, just enough to give us a foot or two over our opponents. Sir, if we keep the line, we'll end up moving downhill, Max interjected. Why the fuck would we hold the line? Plus, put us in a hook, curling with the hill, Alex said, indicating the very same hook he'd just drawn. It's not as if they won't try to flank us and roll us up anyways, right? David frowned at that, crossing his arms in front of himself in a defensive way. You're not wrong, but it isn't very... Very what? Fair? Sportsmanlike? Pah! This is war. I plan to kill as many of them as I can and get as few of us killed as possible. Make sure we get a platform put up, at the very least, for the archers to fire down from, Alex said, tapping the center of the area. And what do you want us to do if someone tells us to move? Max asked. Ignore them, or kill the messenger. I don't care. Don't move, though, Alex said with a shrug of his shoulders. Both men stared at him as if he'd grown a second head. This'll be the spot where we hold our ground and have them break upon us. They'll be expecting to roll right through us. We know their tactics in that case. Let's use it to our advantage. Carla grunted at that. Carla seems very good at grunting, don't you think? Good. That makes it easy. What else? You said you had a plan. This is good, but not like you stop. Excuse me. Good. That makes it easy. What else? You said you had a plan. This is good, but not like you stopped here. Stop there, she said. Pardon me. Am I that obvious? Alex asked, grinning at her. She didn't respond. Yes, dear, one moment. still hasn't forgiven me for making sure she swallowed by opening her mouth to show me, he thought to himself. I want to purchase 20 horses. I assume we have at least 40 men who can ride, Alex asked, looking to David. Easily. Good. I want 40 men to be trained up as mounted infantry. They're going to have a different job during this first battle. The enemy isn't going to expect anything from us other than to die miserably, even with our encampments. They'll think they can waltz right over us. I want those mounted infantry to move out the day before and to go very far afield, far enough that no screening force or picket would find them. Alex said, gesturing to the far left of the side of the map. And? David asked, unable to wait for Alex to continue, it seemed. When the battle is fully joined, I want those 40 to ransack the enemy headquarters and camp. I want them to take all the coin they can, to burn everything they can't take, and to capture any nobility or generals they find. I'll pay 20 gold a head for a noble or a nobleman or a noblewoman, 30 for a general. Any coinage they find and bring back, they can keep 20% of it shared amongst themselves. Any uniforms they can steal would be great as well, Alex said, making a vague gesture at where the enemy would probably set up camp. You want to attack their general directly? Max asked. Uh-huh. And whatever backers they have over there. And when you get them back here, make sure it's in secret if possible. Prisoners aren't shared with a liege lord. There is always the case for ransom, but I'd rather not tip our hand if we don't have to. This is... I'm sorry. I looked sideways at your screen and I just kind of lost my place. That was awful. That's what I get for peeking at his Facebook. It was yuck, yes. All right, back to where we were. I'll pay 20 gold a head for a nobleman or a noblewoman and 30 for a general. Any coinage they find and bring back, they can keep 20% of it shared amongst themselves. Any uniforms they can steal would be great as well, Alex said, making a vague gesture at where the enemy would probably set up camp. You want to attack their general directly, Max asked. Uh-huh. And whatever backers they have over there. And when you get them back here, make sure it's in secret if possible. Prisoners aren't shared with the liege lord, as there is always the case for ransom. But I'd rather not tip our hand if we don't have to. This is very unconventional, David said, softly. I'm no patriot. I'm not even a general. I'm no son of a duke. I'm a damned count dragged into war. I had nothing to do with. If it means we'll catch them off guard, then I'll do it. And if you bring me a number of prisoners and money, all the better. Oh, and I really do mean... Torch everything you can't take. If you can find their food stores, set them aflame. Standing fortifications are a monument to the stupidity of mankind. Any defense can be overrun given the time and manpower. We'll use that to our advantage. They'll pile everything up in one spot. Anything? Anything else, my lord? Max asked, sounding very unsure of himself. If the enemy soldiers surrender, take them into custody, unharmed. Make a show of it. If they don't fear surrendering, more of them will be willing to do so. But other than that, no. I'll have more once we get into position. I suppose. Dismissed, unless you have any other questions. Max and David looked to each other, then left, leaving the map on Alex's table. Sighing after the men left, Alex crossed his arms in front of himself and leaned up against the table, looking to Carla. He shrugged. Whatever. So, your bodyguard hire finally arriving today? He asked. Yes, she's waiting outside. She brought someone else as well. If I'm lucky, you'll hire both, Carla said. All right. Before I invite them in, anything I should know or any concerns with the plan? Huh? Why are you asking me? Because you have a brain inside that muscled head of yours, don't you? Ass. No. Nothing about your stupid plan. As to the women, I dunno. I think one is hireable. The one I met. Don't know the other one. Okay. What's your expectation of them for me? Am I supposed to lock them into a privacy oath like you? Would they even accept one? If they wouldn't, this'll be a short interview. Carla chuckled darkly at that. Oh, the one I want will swear. I bet the other one will, too. If they're from the same background. That means they're already in trouble, and I'm the only way out, he thought to himself. Murderers, bandits, or thugs? All of that? Fine. Go get them. Carla gave him a weird look, then left the tent. Alex made himself comfortable and sat next to his desk, making sure to put some furniture between himself and the newcomers. Three? Alex asked to no one. Here, master, came a disembodied response. Good. Alex said, feeling better. Just in case. Don't wait for permission on my part to do whatever you feel best. Yes, master. Falling silent, Alex idly toyed with the edge of the map as he waited. Carla stepped through the tent flap and moved over to stand beside Alex without a word. Her mace had been unslung, and she held it loosely in her hand. So, even she isn't completely comfortable. She seems to be favoring her mace rather than her blade lately, he thought to himself. Two women walked in. One was a wiry thing that looked like she'd been built out of muscle and nerves. She wasn't flat in the chest department, but she'd definitely be in the handful is enough category. Her head was shaved into a short black mohawk. She wore light leather armor with two short swords belted at her hips, a buckler slung over the pommel of one. Sharp blue eyes cut through him as she marched up, a cruel smirk pulling at the side of her mouth. Alex put her somewhere between Carla and Valeria on the attractiveness scale, then looked to the second woman. She was already slumping over, the shadow that was Valeria pressed up to her side, dragging her down to the floor. The woman with the mohawk looked to the woman who had come in with her, and the shadow then shrugged and turned her face back to Carla. "Guess she didn't make the cut," the woman drawled. "Not my problem. I got paid as a reference." Valeria grunted and slammed a very thin blade home from above the woman's temple, most certainly into her brain. Gasping and panting, Valeria crawled off the twitching corpse and shook herself out. "Already had a blade in hand," Valeria said, kicking at the woman's hand. The weapon in question clattered to the ground. Reaching down, Valeria tried to pull her blade out of the woman's skull. "She was going to dive at you, I bet." Valeria yanked on the hilt and couldn't get it free. Sighing, she put her boot to the brain-dead body's jaw and pulled on the handle for all she was worth. With a sput, the blade came free. A spattering of blood came pumping out of the head wound, and Valeria crashed to the floor. She bounced twice and skidded an entire foot across the ground. "Could you throw a towel or something over her head? She's going to pump out till she cools," Carla said. Mohawk looked at the body, then ripped the tunic off the woman's torso with a monstrous jerk of her muscled shoulders. In doing so, she managed to expose the dead woman's chest to everyone looking. With a negligent flick of her hand, Mohawk dumped the tunic over the bare-chested woman's head. "Better?" she asked.
"It'll do.
Whole place is going to reek of blood now," Alex complained. Mohawk shrugged. "You the guy paying?" she asked.
"That I am. Your name?"
Alex asked, looking to her again.
"Nanny," she said.
"Nanny?"
Alex asked, making sure he heard her.
"Yep. Why?"
"Nothing, just making sure. Did two tell you my need for secrecy?" Alex asked.
"Kinda.
She said she couldn't talk about it, and if I wanted to sign on, I wouldn't be able to talk about it either."
Which made sense.
"If you look at it from a certain way," she said.
"Great. I'll make it simple. Swear an oath on Leia's name to protect my secrecy. To not betray me in any way, and that you'll act in good faith for me. For both your soul and life. After that, we can begin," Alex said, spreading his hands in front of himself.
"'Kay. I swear. All that junk on my soul and life. We gotta talk about pay now," Nanny asked.
Valeria got to her feet and slunk away towards the back of the room.
"Good work, Three. Figure out how I can repay you later." She nodded her head but didn't respond.
"I get a number?" Nanny asked, not giving him a chance to respond to her first question.
"Do you want a number?" Alex asked.
"Dunno. Probably not."
Alex blinked at that and then moved on. "Pay would be 5 gold a year.
7.
6, and I'll pay off whatever bounty is on your ass," Alex said, leaning to one side of his chair and resting his chin in his hand.
"Huh. How long is the job?"
"Permanent,"
I'd essentially employ you till you die of old age or on duty.
And I get to kill people. Like this one?
Nanny said, pointing at the still bleeding body. In the line of duty, yes. For pleasure, no.
Nanny ran her tongue over her teeth and looked to one side.
Okay, I can do that, she said, looking back to him.
Bounty's kind of high. You sure you can pay it?
How high are we talking?
300 gold, Nanny said indifferently.
Oh, that's not too bad, really. 2 was higher.
You're to work for me as a bodyguard. Job duties are simple. Keep me alive. Keep yourself alive. And that's about it. Basically, make sure no harm befalls me. From you or others. You'll get 2 days off a week when 2 is working, and you'll have 2 days where you work alone while she has days off, Alex explained.
Any questions?
Nah, seems simple.
I get a guard kilt like her?
Nanny said, pointing at Carla.
Sure, if you can scrounge one up.
I didn't give those to 2.
Now, we've agreed on the terms of the job. I think it's time we talk about more interesting things, Alex said, with a smile at her.
I ain't sleeping with you, Nanny said, her face immediately turning towards distaste.
No, but for 300 gold, you won't be sleeping with anyone else either. I'll have you celibate. To the point that you're not even holding another man or woman's hand, or even yourself for that matter. Clean and pure as undriven snow going forward, unless I give you permission, that is. But I digress. But I digress and get ahead of myself. As someone in my employ, I'm going to have deals to offer you from time to time, Alex said, starting into his spiel. It's rather simple. I offer you something and ask a price. You can say no, and no harm will befall you in any shape, way, or form. Nor will any previous deal be impacted, or any future deals.
So you could offer me 50 gold to spit me in half on your bed, and I could say yes or no? Annie asked, her brow furrowing.
Yep.
And you wouldn't be mad if I told you to fuck yourself?
Nope.
Huh. Okay.
And that's my price for paying your bounty. You becoming a nun, so to speak.
Fine. I can do that. The guards have been getting too close to me lately. Wasn't going to be able to run much longer. At least in the city. Would have turned into a ground pounder in a jail cell with as many sweaty meat sacks they could get in a day, then hang after they finished.
Nanny said with distaste. I would hope not. I've gone on a crusade to flush those types out of Brit.
Wasn't talking about Brit.
Alex was thankful for that. He really had gone a bit wild on his own guards.
So we have a deal.
Sure, yeah.
Swear it on my soul and life, or whatever, on my oath.
So, when do we eat? Kind of hungry. Craving steak if you got it, Nanny said.
I'll have my maid feed you this time for free. Your meals otherwise will be up to you, Alex said with a smile. He already knew what the next deal for Nanny was going to be. Then she stooped down next to the dead woman and started going through her pockets. Already shit herself. Ugh, Nanny said. Alex mentally sighed. They weren't going to get any information off a dead person, and he doubted she'd have anything on herself that would identify her or who she worked for. Not even a single coin, Nanny grumbled, and punched the dead woman's side. Bum. Alrighty, give me just 1 second, y'all. I'm gonna get myself a drink, and then we'll continue with the second half of our story hour. I do hope you are enjoying yourselves. Welcome, Shiva. Alrighty, let's see here. Chapter 20. Alex looked out at the plain beneath his defenses. Valeria stood next to him. Carla, Nanny, and Riley stood nearby, looking out across the same view. They were just out of earshot. He figured, as soon as he'd been able, Alex had volunteered his people as a screening force and raced towards his desired location, so he could secure this exact spot. The people he'd sent ahead had done an admirable job of erecting exactly what he'd asked for, to the point that Max and David had suggested awarding them all extra portions of ale. Ale was apparently almost as fiercely prized as coin. While at war, who was Alex to judge? Tanulf had arrived the night previous and settled into the position he'd wanted. For all intents and purposes, it seemed as if today would be the first touch of combat. With any luck, the last as well. There'd be a minor situation with the Count on Alex's right flank being perturbed at the lack of space for him to get into formation, as a result of which Alex had happily pulled his conscripts in as a second line and let the man have that lower section of the hill. Master, Valeria asked. Sorry, Three. Lost myself there. I wanted to talk to you a while back. You'll remember, Alex said, turning to face the woman.
Yes.
I hadn't... I hadn't forgotten. Just hadn't had the time. Now seems oddly appropriate. Valeria didn't respond. She was wearing a form-fitting dress and seemed partially ill at ease, as if unused to being on the front line of a battle, playing her role of a camp woman. When it came to her role as his doxy, she played it well. He admired her ability to get into character and stay there. "You've been doing well, as both actress and... I have no term for it, actually. Thief taker? Assassin's assassin." "Assassin's assassin?" Alex asked, looking to Valeria for help. Valeria shrugged her shoulders. "Doesn't matter." "Well, you've been doing well, but I don't think this role fits you. Nor do I think you particularly enjoy it. Is that fair?" Valeria's nose wrinkled and her hands folded into one another in front of herself. "Not entirely, no, Master. Field work isn't my forte. Never was. Never will be," she admitted. "Then I have an offer. One tailored specifically for you. I want you to hire an apprentice for yourself. Someone you can train to take up your field work. You'll remain at my side, of course, but no longer working both roles." Valeria nodded her head at that, her eyes drifting to the side. "It'd help make it easier, though I think it would be better with three. One for going out, one for remaining in, and one in reserve," Valeria said, her eyes flicking back up to him.
"Two more than I wanted, but I suppose we could come to a price for those two extra, especially since it would be problematic if you were to find yourself having to choose between me and your old master."
"Would you barter with me?" Alex said, grinning at her. Blinking twice, Valeria nodded her head.
"I'll have you hire three to train up exactly as you said. They'll swear the same oaths of fealty and privacy you have. Their pay will be negotiable, and I'll let you settle that with them since they'll be reporting to you. Just make sure to keep their prices reasonable. As for you, what I want is rather simple. I want you in my bed one night a week."
"That seems not quite fair. You want me to train people, only to pay you with myself?" Valeria asked, her cheeks coloring faintly.
Alex grinned at her.
"I promise to make sure we first cater to your needs when you spend the night with me, in whatever way you see fit."
"Did I mention
I found a rather nice riding crop? It was a little pricey, but I think it'll have a good snap to it. I splurged, and also got you a lovely little bite guard. That looks like it'll have a nice mouthfeel." Valeria tilted her head to one side, watching him curiously.
"You are a very strange person, Master," she said finally. "Really, whatever I want first?"
"Well, as long as it only involves you, me, and maybe another number, then yes. Though I do reserve the right to refuse if it's simply too much. For example,
cutting off bits of you is outside of my comfort zone. But I'd be all right laying a blade to your skin if that's what you wanted. Valeria turned her head the other way, as if seeing him from a different perspective would tell her something.
Fine. I accept your deal, as you stated it. 3 to train, and my preferences on activity before I get in your bed as your doxy. I do so swear.
Agreed, accepted, and sworn, Alex said with a grin. Now, about you... A distant horn interrupted him. Looking over, Alex saw the enemy army stomping their way forward. There it is, then, Alex murmured. Carla, Nanny, and Riley all came over to peer out. Then Carla grabbed him by one arm and dragged him off. Time to sit yourself down. You gave the strategy to be followed. Let the professionals handle the battle, Carla said.
Yes, Master. Come to the tent with me. Relax, Riley said charmingly, taking his arm in hers and wrapping herself around it.
Fine, fine. Nanny, you stay with me. 2, 3, you can consider this involuntary time off for an hour or two, Alex said, letting Riley lead him off. Alex had lasted all of 5 minutes sitting in his tent before going back out to watch from an elevated position of safety with the archers. Though he couldn't see much, he could see enough. The enemy army did truly seem to be the elites on their side of the conflict. From the brief glimpses he saw of them when they reached the summit, they appeared quite well armed and armored. Right before they went tumbling down the hill from spear thrusts and sword strokes from his troops. As far as Alex could tell, the enemy had badly underestimated his troops. They'd expected to just swarm up the hill and overrun them, as if they weren't even there. At some point, Max had taken control of a troop of the heavy foot soldiers in reserve and rushed around the far side of the defensive hook. It was a solid move, and Alex approved of it as he watched it happen. He'd even told Max to look for an opportunity like this to flank their far edge and begin rolling them up in front of the battle line. The rumble and growl of fighting had long since been tuned out, and Alex heard it not at all.
"Master, is it going well?" Riley asked, her fingers hooked into his sleeve.
"As well as it could be, I suppose. Really, it doesn't matter much to us anymore. We prepared as nearly unassailable position that just isn't something they can take in a straight fight," Alex said. "They'd have to overwhelm our people, which, honestly, won't happen. Maybe if they were conscripts or undertrained, then sure." David nodded his head in agreement, yet said nothing.
"This seems not very worthwhile," Riley said, her eyes turning down to the ground.
Such a tender-hearted thing, he thought to himself. War usually is. It's the worst-case scenario when politics fails, Alex agreed. "My lord, I'd like to switch some men out with the conscripts. It'd give them a chance to blood themselves and give some of the men a break," David said. "That's fine, and a good idea. Maybe some of those very same peasants might find soldiery the life for them," Alex said with a smirk. David left without another word.
"Master, can't we go back to the tent?" Riley pleaded.
"I don't think I should, one. My place may not be on the field itself, but it's better if I'm at least visible," Alex said, giving her a smile. It'll be all right. This has already been going on for a while. Unless the enemy really are fools, they'll have to pull off sooner rather than later. They're simply losing too many men. From the far side of his line, a sudden commotion got Alex's attention. Frowning from where he stood, he peered off towards the disturbance. "Nanny, could you—" "On it," said the woman, not bothering to hear the full order. She set off at a jog, a short sword slipping free of her sheath and practically appearing in her hand. "I wonder what it could be," Alex mused.
"Maybe it's Max,"
Riley asked. "Maybe. I imagine he's still pressing hard on their flank, though. The enemy isn't to be taken lightly, and I imagine they've been flanked before in their careers." A number of men on horses came up over the crest of the hill, slipping through the conscript peasants who had been put there as a defensive reserve.
"Ah, it's my special garbage collector team," Alex said with a grin. "Let's go see what they managed to pry free from our esteemed enemies."
Alex waved at the lead horseman then, and then pointed towards his command tent. Nanny came back, looking mildly annoyed, her sword sheathed. There was no reason to advertise what the spoils were quite yet. All the horsemen followed along, arranging themselves in a loose formation. Alex stood in front of them with a smile, looking to someone to step forward and tell him the results. Eventually, two men with full helmets on made their way towards Alex. They were lugging a large, two-handled chest between themselves. Reaching Alex, they dropped it with a resounding thud. One opened the lid while the other stood there with his hands on his hips. Inside was a glittering mass of gold and silver.
"Ha! What the hell did you do? Rob a chest from their pay wagon?" Alex asked, looking to the two men with a grin.
"Better, we took the pay wagon itself," said the man on his left as he unbuckled his helmet. "Six more chests like this inside it." Hooking his helmet to his belt, the young man gave Alex a grin. There was a strange resemblance to David that Alex couldn't quite place. All the features were the same, but younger. Brother, perhaps, he thought. "If I remember right, I offered a 20% finder's fee on items like this," Alex said, closing the chest. "Let's say, pick a chest for yourselves, and then we'll count up another and give you 1/4 of that for you and your men. Fair?" As if his smile couldn't get any wider, the man nodded his head. Behind him, The horsemen were getting down off their mounts. "That's not all, though," said the man, looking back to his group. He waved at them. "I do believe you had a price on unharmed gentry and generals as well." Squirming sacks with feet sticking out of them were carried into Alex's tent.
"Consider me beyond impressed. I didn't catch your name," Alex asked. "Men like this needed to be employed as quickly as possible."
"Daniel, sir. Daniel Harrell."
"Stick around, Daniel. I'll have use for you later. I'll tally up your prisoners and add their worth to the chest we'll be divvying up. Remember, secrecy is the name of the game here," Alex said with a nod. He turned and entered the tent, eager to find out whom he'd caught. Six writhing sacks lay on the ground. Four wore what looked like well-cobbled shoes. Two were in boots. "Good afternoon," Alex said, turning to the side. He motioned to Riley and Nanny to get the tent flap.
My name is Alex Britt, Count Britt. You've all been taken as prisoners of war under my domain and control. Don't bother trying to say anything just yet. I'll be interviewing you all privately. If you're a high value prize, you'll receive fair treatment. If you're not, Alex left the statement open, letting their own fears fill in the blank. Realistically, he'd just turn them over to Duke Tanulf if they didn't serve his purpose. But there was no reason to tell them that. I look forward to speaking with you, one and all, Alex said. We can, sir, Daniel said, speaking through the closed tent flap. Yes, Daniel? Sir, they're retreating from the field. That's good news. Any reason why? I think they noticed their entire camp was on fire.
Oh, yes. I imagine that'd be a cause for concern.
Good. Have David rotate the men out and get the wounded evacuated. A meal in everyone and enough water to drown a fish. This might not be over yet.
Ah, yes, sire.
Alex turned back to the sacks that now seemed considerably less active.
Well, that's interesting. I suppose the good Duke will call me in for a staff meeting shortly. We'll have to make this quick. If you're of the peerage, go ahead and curl up in the fetal position for me. Two sacks immediately did so. Nanny, could you set those two aside for me?
Preferably back near my bed area. I'll need to interview them first before the meeting, I imagine.
Okay, who's in the military?
Two more sacks curled up.
Put those on the other side of the tent. Far side, that is. It's big enough to house a family of six anyways.
Might as well use the entirety of it.
Either you or two need to watch over them, Nanny.
I'm sure one can keep an eye on them if you want to go track two down real quick.
You and your damn numbers, Nanny growled.
The other two? Leave them there for now. You're in charge of those, one.
Oh?
And if you find three while you're out there, send her my way.
Alex waved his hand at them as he spoke.
Then he trailed after Nanny as she dragged the two sacks back towards his bed.
"Gah, fucking meat sacks!" Nanny said, then pushed at one of them with her boot, sliding them towards his bed. "Gonna go find that dumb cunt so I'm not alone in this. You got it for now?"
"Indeed. Do be nice to two. She might take your head off, and I'd have to hire a new murdering psychopath," Alex said, sitting down in a chair nearby.
"She can try," Nanny said, then left.
"Well then," Alex said, reaching down to the closest sack, "let's get you open and have a chat." The sack fell completely immobile as Alex began unwinding the cord around the feet. Pulling the sack open, he reached in and grabbed a leg. A bare leg.
Oh my goodness, do I keep going? There's only 5 minutes left.
This seems like an awfully good spot to stop.
Maybe one more paragraph.
Oh, you're damn right I do it on purpose, Fantasy. I've got to make sure y'all come back.
With Alex pulling while he stepped on the sack with one foot, the captured party started to move. The bottom part of the person slid out, which was a pair of legs in a dress that had slid all the way up to her hips.
Ah, sorry about that, Alex said, getting out of his seat. He pulled the sack up over the woman the rest of the way, rather than yanking her out. Bound, gagged, and clearly angry, a young woman a few years younger than himself glared up at him.
In that day, capturing a woman naked would be unlikely unless you were in a particular kind of house.
Well, let's see here. Light brown hair, bordering on dark blonde, framed her face in a lovely and natural-looking way. She had fine features and an elegant look to her. She was pretty in her way, though certainly not beautiful. Her figure was on the better side, though, with a nice curve to her body. Her green eyes had enough heat in them to make him catch fire. That disposition didn't improve as he obviously inspected her.
Let's start with being civil to one another. I'm Alex Britt. You're safe, and I'd love to have a conversation with you. Shouting would be inconductive to that, and we'll be forced to go down a different road if you do that, Alex said. Reaching down, he carefully slid the gag out of her mouth and down to her neck.
And you are? Alex asked, sitting back down fully in his chair.
Huffing angrily at him, she shifted around on the ground.
Baroness Mary Margaret Tilly, she said, lifting her chin slightly.
Ah, I see. And who's the other one? Alex said, pointing to the other sack.
My niece, said the Baroness.
Great. Who's in charge of Duke Galus's right flank?
My uncle, Count Frinnis.
Carla came over and looked to the woman on the ground, then Alex.
Two, could you pack up that sack over there and hand it off to Riley? She's nobility, but minor.
Alex said, looking up at his bandit bodyguard. I'll deal with her after the Baroness here.
Carla looked to the woman, then the sack, and then back to Alex. She grunted, then grabbed the booted foot of the niece and dragged the squirming sack off.
Alex looked back to Mary and gave her a smile. They were now alone, separated enough that he could start his spiel.
One minute. Wow, let's see here. Well, I'd say your uncle is falling back to salvage what he can of your camp, let alone figure out his next move, Alex said, spreading his hands out in front of himself. I can't speak for the rest of the battle, but this fight did not go in your favor. And that... Whoops. I believe is a very good place to stop.
Let's start next week, since it's at the top of a page. Just seems convenient.
I have greatly enjoyed all of you, and if any of you, including Sprinkles over there who's been given the website, would like to look up any of the past stories that lead up to this point, just let us know.
I do believe that most all of them are there now. I reread the 1 week I'd missed, and well, we do have to get it up, but that's okay. Out of my control, unfortunately. I did say most of them were up. You go to that website, there is a performances tab at the top. Click on recordings and you will find all the recordings of this book. So far, it has been a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Get it up, Miss Bobby. Honey, I got no problem getting it up. Oh. And let's just say we need to import the last two stories to the website. Three now. Okay, yes, three now. Sorry. I hope you all have a wonderful evening. It has been wonderful having you with us this last hour. And I do look forward to seeing you all here next week. Huggles. Good night.